morning. My name is Dejanaba Gordon. I work for Public Health Management Corporation, and I'm here with Anna, and we have a collaboration doing just some baseline risk perception research. We don't have any relationships to disclose. The risk of hepatitis C and tattooing is not necessarily really high unless it's in a increased risk population like injection drug users or sex workers. However, in Philadelphia, there is a high, there's a lot of tattooing going on in unlicensed facilities, so we thought it would be really interesting to see what are the young adults and adolescents versus perceptions around tattooing, hep C, and other infectious diseases. In Philadelphia, we're really privileged to have some regulations around tattooing policies. It is prohibited to tattoo anyone under the age of 16. All facilities must have a licensed establishment certificate that's only $100 annually. All tattoo artists must go through a 3-year apprenticeship and must go through a bloodborne pathogen training every 3 years. However, tattoo parties are very common in Philadelphia. I've seen tattoos on children as young as 9. And these aren't well-done tattoos. Tattooing in Philadelphia has become a sense of building the community. So if you're from the same neighborhood block, you may get a tattoo that indicates what neighborhood you're from. If you're a group of females, you guys all hang out together, you may get a tattoo that represents the friendship that you have, or even tattoos amongst family. Also, tattooing is a lot less expensive to get a tattoo outside of a licensed facility. I think that we order a kit just to see how easy it would be, and it was $60. You get the tattoo equipment, including the ink, the needle, and you're ready to go. So it's highly accessible, and I always say in the spring, it's like, okay, let's see what the trend is this year. I'm from New Jersey, so there isn't that many people walking around with tattoos. But each spring, there's 1 year was like the necklace tattoo where you would have someone's name or your child's name in your necklace. 1 year was the behind the arm tattoo, then the calves. So it's always like, okay, what's the new tattoo spot? It's a lot of fun.
And I've met a grandmother with a tattoo. She's like, oh, I went to a tattoo party. That's great.
The thing of it is about the tattoo part is that although they are illegal, they're so common that there are even some tattoo shops that feel like in order to stay relevant and to compete in the market, they'll send their artists out. And either you will have the person who's hosting the party, they will either pay the shop a flat rate and the tattoo artists make whatever they make off of who's there, or they'll split the proceeds evenly. So I oversee PHOT, Philadelphia Hepatitis Outreach Project. It was established in 2007. We're funded through the Department of Behavioral Health through the Office of Addiction Services. We are the only program whose only goal is to increase awareness about viral hepatitis with the emphasis on C, although we do educate people on hepatitis A and B. I created teen tattoos that have C as a way to disseminate the information around the risk of tattooing in a way that was relevant. I really don't expect young adults to care about hepatitis C because it's a disease with no symptoms, and most times when diseases don't have any symptoms, it's not right there in the forefront. They feel like they're invincible. It's not a priority. But when you add in the tattooing, then they start to listen because, again, it's so common amongst the peer group, and they all know someone who's giving a tattoo. I mean, we did a tour with a local celebrity DJ, and we were in the middle schools, and over 300 kids in the auditorium, and we would say, how many people have a tattoo? In the middle schools, not many people raised their hands. In the high schools, maybe about 50% of them will raise their hands. But then when we ask the questions, how many people have been to a tattoo party? In the middle schools, at least 50% of those kids have been to a tattoo party. So you know eventually, because it's such a norm, and they have access to it, and it's one of those things that parents are now like adding on to the birthday party. I'll get you a tattoo artist. You know, it's just a matter of time. So we created Teen Tattoos and Hep C as a way to inform adolescents around the risk of tattooing and hepatitis C. This is one of the flyers that we used. Once we started doing the surveys, we didn't use those flyers too much, just because we didn't want to plant any seeds of the risk between tattoo and hep C. We wanted them to be able to answer the questions without any biases. We play a game called Superhero Showdown. It's now electronic. is being developed. And Superhero Showdown is really when we are able to engage the audience around tattooing and promote other public health harm reduction messages. So we have like condom captains. So you have the group, and I'm like, condom captains, you're always using condoms, right? And they're like, yeah, we use condoms and so forth. And you have, so each level, how the game works is that they answer a question, and as they move up, each line is, indicates a higher level. And then once they get to the winner puck, that means that that group won. But it's another opportunity to engage the youth. And one of the things that comes out during this conversation over and over again is that they really feel like that you can sanitize tattoo equipment with household products. So they believe that alcohol, pneumonia, burning the needle, that like if we have bleach, and you know, bleach can be effective, but again, Hep C is so infectious that Strive did a video on how it can potentially spread when you're using a bleach kit to clean a needle and syringe, and they show that you're almost always going to spread the virus even when you're trying to clean it. So they're always surprised by the fact that you can't use household items to clean the equipment. And they're always are surprised at this picture too, because they see this woman who's the gun is completely covered. And they look at that as it being really extra, like, oh, you don't need all that plastic. And maybe you do, maybe you don't, but the point is that you don't want to take the risk because Hep C is so infectious. For PHOP, when we screened between 2007 and July 2014, we screened 138 people between the ages of 18 and 25. We don't screen anyone under 18 because there isn't any really linkage to care services, and right now there aren't any treatments, so we're still trying to navigate that. We screened 138 people, and we found a 4% antibody positivity rate. Mm-hmm. This is much higher than the CDC statistics. However, we can't really confirm if it's really that high because we don't have the confirmatory testing done. So this year, this fiscal year, we're trying to put more of an emphasis on screening people 18 to 25 now that we are able to offer community-based confirmatory testing so that we can see whether or not this is a real risk for this age group in Philadelphia. I'm going to turn it over to Anna.
So I work at Jefferson, and I work in academia, and so this partnership was so great to work with people who are in the community, on the street, and I'm behind my desk creating surveys and in the database. So we teamed up. This is a non-funded study, and there's nothing in the literature about the prevalence of illegal tattooing for adolescents. So we found, you know, just through discussions and Philadelphia creating a hepatitis C allies program, right? Basically, hepatitis C coalition in Philadelphia. And so we decided to get together, and since you were already on the ground, we wanted to know what teens thought, how much tattooing was happening. We created a survey. We did a very brief consent form. It went through the IRB at Jefferson. We also went through the IRB at PHMC. And we wanted to document awareness, knowledge, risk perceptions among Philadelphia youth. So we put together, it was a two-page survey, so we used one page front and back. So we looked at 197 individuals. It took us about a year and a half to get 197 people through the survey and education and all that. Our mean age is 18, about 18 years old. A little more male than female in this population, mostly African American. There's 15% other. A lot of the adolescents said, I'm everything, or they would write in something in the blank that was not within the race categories that we use, so we did have a large other here. About 80% did hear about hepatitis C, which was good. Surprisingly, out of all of these, right, and let's just go back, right, mean age, about 18 years old, 200 people in Philadelphia from all over the city. About 64% of them had at least one tattoo. So of that 65% of those with a tattoo had three or more. So we're looking at, 120 people who had a tattoo, at least 65% of that 120 had three or more at 18 years old. To me, that's a lot. 70% of those with a tattoo had gotten at least one in an unlicensed setting.
50% had been to a tattoo party, and 65% said it would be very easy or easy to find a tattoo party. And like I said, when I was working in a family medicine, Jefferson Family Medicine Associates, a family medicine practice with over 30,000 patients, I was doing hepatitis C education before we met, and I had a grandmother say, oh, yeah, I go with my kids on the block. We have tattoo parties all the time. She was a very hip grandmother. My grandmother's not like that. So despite high awareness about hepatitis C, about 16% knew that there was, the majority didn't know or thought that a vaccine existed for hepatitis C, when in fact there is not, just in case anyone's not aware of that. The correct answers are in bold on the screen. We asked if HCV is the most common bloodborne infection. About 37% said yes, that is true. Surprisingly, about 80% thought that they could get HCV from a tattoo.
And that could have been attributed to that when we did these surveys, we went to different sites. So we were at Philadelphia Free Libraries, we were in after-school programs, we were in programs for adjudicated youth. So they might have, their teacher might have said, oh, we're doing a presentation mm-hmm. about tattoo and hep C. Mm-hmm. Although we didn't use the flyer, more than likely, they mentioned something about the presentation in order for the kids to stay, because a lot of times it's voluntary. So that's probably why they knew that they can get a hep C from a tattoo. And within the past couple of years, because of all of the great changes in hep C medications, there's been a lot of advertising about hepatitis C. Philadelphia has been a market for all the treatments. There's advertisements on our public transportation routes. There's commercials on TV. There's the radio ads, mm-hmm. the bus ads. So there is a heightened awareness since mm-hmm. I started 5 years ago. In the past 2 years, there's just a heightened awareness about hep C in general in the city.
We are one of six cities in the U.S. that has a designated employee in our health department dedicated to hepatitis C. That's Alex Sharif, and she started the Hepatitis C Coalition. So there's a lot of work around hepatitis C in Philadelphia right now. Thank you. By gender, females were more likely to have a tattoo, almost 75% compared to the 60% of males. By age, greater than 18, more likely to have a tattoo, and to know that there's not a vaccine, still low percentages there. Something that we found really interesting is, this is pretty much the only qualitative question on our survey, where were you getting your tattoo? If it was illegal, my house, my dad's house, my brother, my cousin, my friend, the tattoo man, a basement. Not really specific, they weren't really giving too much away. I mean, they're filling out a survey that didn't have their name on it or anything like that, just their age and race. So that's what we were seeing there. So really, like I said, there's really no information in the literature about any of this, so this is very exploratory. We presented this at the Hepatitis C Coalition meeting a few months ago, and our audience were like, yeah, we know, but what are we doing about it? What are we going to do next? And so I think that's the real question is, we know that all this is happening, we have a lot of efforts going on, but what's the next step? And if you have any ideas on what we can do with this information, besides write a paper, which we're working on, we would love to hear it, because it's a really important problem to tackle. So. And there's our contact information should you have any questions. Anything else to add? All right. I think we're under the time limit, so I think, was that?
What? Yes, you are.
All right. Thank you. I'm a quick talker.